Hey, welcome. I guess you're wondering how we shine, how we glow, homie. But none other than the word of God that keeps us shining.
What up? It's just what Kids Been Big Drake Made Men Radio Show. Yeah, we coming right back at you hard. I know it's not the next week, but it's the week right after. Okay. Consistency may mean every 2 weeks, but hey, it's consistent.
Yes, sir.
Big Drake, what's up with you, boy?
It's good. It's a lovely day out here in Auburn. It's about between 69 and 71 degrees. It's breezy. You know it's a good day. Today is the first day out of the entire year that I was actually able to go in my backyard, do some fishing, and I caught fish. Today, I fished a little bit. Hey, you know I'm ecstatic. I fished a little bit yesterday. I'm trying to think. I had football practice yesterday, which I'm going to talk to y'all about that. If y'all in the Lee County area, this upcoming summer, you need to come check out the East Alabama Predators. I am the D-line coach, and I got a call from the head coach today. I just may have been elevated to D coordinator.
What?
But we don't, yeah, boy. we don't see how that thing goes. So today has been a good day. I was able to work on my prior program, which I'm pretty sure the listeners by now know something about it. I caught fish because, like I said, I fished yesterday. I think I did a little fishing on Saturday. I haven't caught anything, none this year. And anybody that knows anything about fishing, it has to do with the weather change and the temperature of the water.
Right. They like to go to the bottom.
Yeah, being hot one day, well, not hot, but being nice one day, and then the next day it's 30 degrees. They're not going to catch anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been nice since Saturday, so that's three straight days. Caught four fish. Got the call from the head coach. It's been a good day, man. I'm not going to lie.
It sounds like it's been a pretty doggone amazing day for you, brother.
Yeah, it's been a good day. So I'm not looking forward to tomorrow. I tell you that.
Oh, so you headed back into the office tomorrow.
I'm going to work tomorrow.
Yeah. That's always a little bit of a downer. We've moved to doing 4-10s. So the great thing about that is I have every Friday off now. But the horrible part
is
that 10 hour day gets you, boy. And you know, when we moved to it, I was like, it ain't gonna be no thing, man. I ended up spending 10 hours in the office anyway. But that's a big old difference when you gotta be there for 10 hours when you choose to be there for 10 hours.
Yeah.
That last hour, bro, it just seems like, feels like somebody's punching me in the back of my head and just, got me in a chokehold, like he tried to get me to tap out, bro. I mean, it is rough being in there for those 10 hours, man. But like I say, the great thing about that is I'm off every Friday now. And so we'll see. And the traffic has gotten hellacious since we moved to this, because for some crazy reason. So I'm building the new nuclear reactors, but we have two operating plants right now. So you have the operating plant, you have the group that I'm in that's preparing to operate the new plant, and then you have the construction side. So I'm not actually building, I'm preparing to operate the new plants when we finish building them. So we have three factions of people. Well, almost everybody on the whole site has gone to 4-10s. For some crazy reason, everybody put all their people reporting in at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So our site, of course, most nuclear plants, especially in the southeast, are in the middle of nowhere. So you go down a two-lane road to get to my plant, about 14 miles down a two-lane road. Yeah, well, brother, there's about anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 personnel traveling this two-lane highway at the same time. So a drive that usually took me, when I turn off the major highway, usually took me about 15 to 18 minutes to get from the major highway to the plant entrance, now takes mm-hmm. about 40 minutes.
Wow.
40 to 40 minutes. So my drive, and I already had, without including that in, I had an hour drive anyway. I had an hour commute.
Yeah.
So now I have about an hour and 30 minute commute both ways.
Now, I'm shocked at that because we're dealing with smart people, engineers, and you'd have thought somebody would have thought, okay, we need to stagger these times.
Somebody. No. Nobody had the foresight to think, huh, I wonder what time the other group gonna dismiss their people. You know, that's all they had to take. Make a phone call, pick up the phone. You ain't even, you know, that'd have made it so easy on my plant site. You ain't even gotta dial all 7 digits. All you gotta do is dial 4. All you gotta do is dial the extension. And they could have called somebody and said, hey, what time y'all going to have people come in? Oh,
yeah.
We'll come in 30 minutes later or 30 minutes earlier. Nah, they ain't nobody do that. It's horrible.
Wow.
It's horrible. So other than that, you know, other than the fact that I spent 3 hours a day on the road, plus 10 hours in the office, you know what I'm saying? I mean, other than that, I do have every other Friday out. So, but I am really weighing and see, did I really get an extra day off? Because technically, I've added an extra hour every day. When you put that over 8 days, did I really get an extra day off? In addition to the extra hour as well of work.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I may be reluctant to go back to my just every other Friday off. So, I don't know, man. We'll see.
I'll tell you what, when I was on patrol, and you know, it's 12-hour shifts, but you're working 4 on, 4 off.
That four off was great.
That's all I can say.
That 4 off was great. But how bad did you hate it on that 4th day off, though?
I mean, just like any other, the day before you got to go back to work, no matter if it's 18 days off, 1 day off, a half a day off.
I got to work tomorrow.
But you know what? I mean, it's always good because, you know, I got 4 days off. And the way it works is, so if you wanted some vacation time, instead of literally having to take 2 weeks off or 10 days off, you're working 5 days, all you had to do was take 4 days off, and you were getting 12.
That's right. That's right. 2 weeks off, and it only cost you 4 days of vacation.
Yes. Yes.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
Yes.
That's a pretty sweet deal, man.
So, then I'd like to share something with the listeners before we get started.
Let's get it in, baby.
And this is going to seem very silly, but I don't know. It's moved me in a way like I've never been moved before.
Okay.
I have rediscovered chocolate milk. And Kingpin, you know me, you know, more than anybody else knows Melvin than my wife.
Yeah.
But when I get into things, I get a little obsessive about it.
It goes bad.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's like when I was on the popsicle kick a couple years ago. I mean, it was bad. Well, now, I don't know. Another thing that you and I hadn't talked about, and I hadn't shared it on the air, I know we talked about losing weight, but since January 1st, I really geared up about it, and I've lost 25 pounds to January 1st.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm trying to do this 5K. I'm doing it. Well, you know, the more I was getting into running, and wait. I'm not getting into running. Let's just change that. I'm not getting into it. This ain't something I look forward to as a specialty. But no. But the more I started running and hearing about certain things, well, supposedly, chocolate milk is a real good recovery drink after you go on a little run.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know, I'm going to try it. And boy, when that chocolate milk hit my mouth, I lost my mind. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I mean, it's gotten to the point where I'm trying different brands. I'm trying the whole versus the low fat, the 1% versus the 2%. It's going crazy. But I'm telling you, at Kingpin, after you come off that pool or jog off that treadmill or anything, get you a glass of chocolate milk and tell me if it's just not magical.
So chocolate milk, huh?
It's so silly. I mean, you don't see grown men drinking chocolate milk. I love it. I love it.
And I'm not opposed. I've never been a big chocolate milk fan. I'm actually a milk fan. I love just white milk. And I love strawberry milk.
Yes. But
I've never really been a big chocolate milk fan. So if I need to try this, then I know you already know. So what have you keyed in on is kind of your favorite now then?
I like Barber's True Moo.
True Moo.
TRUMOO. True Moo.
I've seen
that. I tell you what. You know, it's not expensive, but it's a little pricey because it's name brand Barber.
Okay.
But I tell you what, that doggone Publix brand is delicious. And I tell you what I like, and I don't prefer. It's just like with whole milk and 1% or 2% of low fat or whatever. You can taste the difference in, you know, if you for 2 weeks drank low fat milk. And then your wife accidentally get a jug of whole milk. It's just like, why am I drinking this watery crap when I can be drinking, you know, this milk from heaven?
This liquid concoction gold. This liquid gold concoction.
So it's the same thing. Now, 2% of the low fat chocolate milk, it is good. It's not that drastic of a change when you're talking about regular white whole milk and low fat milk.
Right.
But there is a difference. So I would tell you, I would just go down to the corner store because they have them in there. Sometimes I find myself pumping some gas, I go in there and get me a bottle of toxic milk, man. I don't know. But try that True Moo. I want to say True Moo. Like a Greek letter Moo, something like that. True Moo. Get the whole. Don't get the low fat.
Get the whole.
Get the whole chocolate milk. And make sure you do it after a workout. You know, after a good run on the treadmill or walk or swim or whatever. To have that thing ice cold.
Yeah.
Dude, it's...
is getting it in.
And you know what? It could be just the protein that your body is sucking up after you've depleted.
That's right.
Have some, you know, it could be just that, but it does something to the body. Well, it did something to my body. Let's just say that. And I'm hooked.
Well, I may have to get some and throw it in. I'm through it. Like I said, with this traffic thing, I'm trying to do something at work. I got to change hours to do something because I can't handle the traffic. So I don't know. My workout is going to be in flux for the next week or two until I figure out a consistent time to report to work and then do a workout too. But I did go get it in on Friday. Because, okay, I think I may have mentioned to you that I'm scheduled now to do the one I'm doing, the 5K that I plan on doing with you will be my second. At the end of the month, I'm attempting to do a Dare to Try triathlon. But I'm only doing two parts of triathlon. I got a co-worker that's going to do the bike. So I'm preparing to do, I'll do a 300-meter swim. And I'll do a 5K. And I was trying to back out because my knee, a couple weeks ago, my knee just went crazy and swole up. And thought I was going to have knee surgery that night and everything. It went crazy.
Wow.
But since then, I haven't had another flare-up. So I'm like, forget it. If I run to surgery, that's fine. I'm going to run this thing off. Try this thing. So I got a chance to, and with my schedule reporting earlier to work, I haven't been able to swim consistently. I get like 15 minutes in the pool. Well, Friday, my day off, my wife wanted me to go work out with her. I said, no, I'm sorry. I need to get in the pool. And so I went, got a chance to get in the pool for an extended period of time. Got a chance to give me a good swim in, man. I swam 1,100 meters, which is a little bit over a half a mile. 39 minutes in the pool. And listeners, this is why I love, love, love swimming. So I got in the pool, 39 minutes, 1,100 meters, and I burned 750 calories in 39 minutes.
Hey, I dig it.
There's just not a lot of workouts you can do that I wasn't beat down, I wasn't sore, I wasn't, you know, it's kind of refreshing actually when you finish. You're tired because you're a little winded, and it takes a while to get your stamina pool ready. But man, I mean, it just feels great. I was able to go on about my day. It energizes you when you do it in the morning. And I burned 750 calories to start the day off. And so I came out, got in the steam room, spent about two sets of five or ten minutes in the steam room, took me a good shower, brother. I was ready to go. I'm preparing for that. It is March 29th. If y'all going to be in the Augusta area, come out to Fort Gordon and support your boy. I may need help being assisted into the ambulance. So the more people, the merrier. As I try to attempt to run this 5K and swim the... I'm not worried about the swim at all, but I am worried about the 5K at the end. But like I said, and I don't know if we've been on the radio since, if I talked about it since. Did I share with you guys that Friday before last, I went to spin class with my wife?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay. So, So, like I say, since I got every Friday off, me and my wife go work out on Fridays. And it was the first Friday off. I said, you know, I'm just going to spend some quality time with my baby. She going to spin class. I'm going to go to spin class with her.
Yeah.
So I went in. First of all, I should have known something was wrong. There was a room full of white women, and that was it, and my wife, and no other men. And so I should have known at that point that this probably was going to be a bad idea. And when I got there, I started looking around at the – and for those that are on spin classes, it's stationary bikes. And when I got to looking around and seeing the seats, I noticed that all the seats were about the width of an iPhone. And so I kept looking to see was there any wider seats. There were none. But I'm not going to be deterred. I'm in here. I'm not going to be punked out. I'm going to knock out spinning.
Yeah.
And so I got on the seat and everybody else, I got on the seat and got my seat adjusted, and I realized it was very uncomfortable. So I decided I'm just going to stand up here beside my bike until spin class starts. And all these other women are on theirs and they getting warmed up. And so again, I'm looking stupid because I'm the only man in the class and I'm just standing beside my bike where literally everyone else in the class is getting warmed up and spinning. And then I realized I got the chance to see who Satan actually is, and he is a little white lady that was on the bike in the front of the class. And as the heat rose in that room, and she kept barking orders at me, I quickly realized I had made the worst decision of my life.
Yes,
and it was further confirmed after spin class, about an hour or two later, when I went to meet somebody for lunch. And I went to sit down on a bench. And I did not realize, at first coming out of class, I just realized this was a bad decision because I'm sore. And this was very strenuous workout. But when I went to sit down, I realized that this was an even worse decision because right now I have to hop right back up because I can no longer sit on my behind. Yep. Brother, when I tell you I was sore for a solid week and a half, why did somebody not tell me that I was going to be in so much pain for doing spin class?
Yeah, you feel violated.
I did. I really did feel
violated. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
So have you ever tried it, Big Drake?
Oh, yeah. I've done it several times.
Oh, I hate it.
the first time, this was years ago, I had a trainer, and his idea was like, hey, today let's get you in spin class. That'll be the workout for the day. You know, we hit the weights hard earlier during the week. Let's just do a little spin. I'm like, cool. I'm thinking it's going to be
a break.
Quick and easy. Yeah. Appreciate you, dog. So when I first walk in, I had a very similar experience that you had. I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, what a fat seat. I need a fat seat. I need a fat seat. And, you know, everything's uniform. Everything's the same. So I get on that thing. I adjust it. Come on. I'm 6'5", 300 pounds. I got some junk in my trunk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I can shake my jelly. You know what I mean? And when I sat down, I'm like,
this ain't gonna work.
So, needless to say,
men should be touching that area.
Yes, first of all, Kingpin, anytime you walk into a room and it's nothing but white women there, and you are not a porn star,
that's right.
You need to leave.
Yeah, that's
how I agree. You leave.
This is not why I need to leave.
Nothing good is going to come out of that.
Nope. Something bad, at worst, jail. So, I mean, I need to walk out.
Yes. So, you know, I did it maybe, the consensus were that the more you do it, the more you get used to it, and it doesn't hurt anymore.
This is what the women keep telling me, that, oh, make
sure
you
don't
work. please come back. It'll stop hurting after a while.
So you want me to just walk around with a numb booty?
That's right.
I need to feel everything that's going on down there. I don't need no numb booty.
Yeah, you want me to walk around feeling violated on multiple occasions, and you want me to willingly make myself feel violated. I'm not going to do it.
The thing
that really was embarrassing, and so I thought I did really well for the first time. So the woman was concerned because I kept my hoodie on. I had my pants on. She thought I was going to pass out because, you know, all the women in shorts and T-shirts and all that stuff. And I was like, no, you know, I'm only doing this because I really need the cardio. I want to sweat. Ma'am, I'm used to working out with a lot of clothes on. That's what I do. And so I wasn't worried about that at all. And so I tried to keep up, and I think I did fairly well. I did probably 85% of the stuff she barked at me. I did those orders, getting up, getting down, sitting low, getting low, second, third position, giving more, a pedal in the mud, pedal up there, all that crazy stuff. She kept yelling at me. What really hurt me is that there was a very robust Caucasian lady right beside me. And when I tell you, that lady was humping it and doing everything. I felt embarrassed at myself and my abilities because of what that lady was doing beside me. But in the end, I really didn't care. I really wanted to pick a seat, pick the chair up, and smack somebody with it. I felt like somebody deserved to get smacked with one of the spin cycles when I was sitting in there. It was old women in there, all of it, bro. But yeah, it was absolutely horrible. So fellas, take our words for it. Spin is not for you. Find something else. It doesn't matter what else. Just find something else. I don't listen to the hype. Spin is not what you want to do, man. Absolutely horrible thing. Worst thing in the world, man. All right, so Big Drake, man, got a chance to catch a little college basketball. I watched the end of the, I think it was Michigan State, Ohio State. Maybe. I don't know. I really wasn't paying attention that much. I really was watching the game. and I realized that I think I'm going to try to put some college basketball in my diet. Man, when I watch the games, I really like college basketball. I mean, I love the intensity, the crowd. I mean, the atmosphere is absolutely amazing. And it was crazy because the atmosphere was absolutely amazing even with it being not tournament time. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
And so I can only imagine. I heard about the Duke North Carolina game. Jabari Parker went off. And so I hate that after I watched that Saturday, I hate that I missed the Duke North Carolina game. But I think it's my time of the year to kind of try to ramp up my college basketball game. One of my coworkers.
Well, King Payne, I mean, you ain't got no choice but to kind of wrap it up because it's probably the end of it. You better start watching it.
Yeah,
you ain't gonna watch
it. If I want to get some. So, yeah. One of my coworkers, he's a Florida grad, and he offered, but this was funny. So he offered up, he said, man, I still got two SEC tournament tickets to anybody that wants them. I was like, yeah, you go to one of them schools, though, that actually has a basketball team. I said, no, if I'm going to watch college basketball, I want to watch teams that are good, and so I don't want to go watch Auburn because we're not good. So I'm like, if I go, I just kind of want to watch them when they play somebody good so I can see the other team. And so it led me to the first question, starting off, you know, we both Auburn grads. Is there any way in the world that Tony Barbie keeps his job?
Nah, he's gone, man. I've heard from a few insiders that they've already let him know that he's gone.
Okay.
But, you know, just finishing out the year.
Play out the circuit. So,
yeah.
But, Big Drake, this troubles me. Could we ever have a successful basketball program?
We have. We've had it before. And the last coach that we have, where we had a successful basketball team, he's at South Alabama, and his team is in the tournament.
Is he at South Alabama now?
Yes.
Cliff Ellis? Oh, that's who he, no. You're talking about Jeff Lebo.
No, I'm talking about Cliff Ellis.
Oh, I didn't know Cliff was at South Alabama now. The last time he was at Coastal Carolina.
Okay. Wait. It might be Coastal Carolina. It might be that, but whatever team he's at, they are in the show.
Oh, man. That. Yeah, he's at Coastal Carolina. Oh, man, that's...
I don't know why I was thinking South Alabama. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing. And he's been very successful there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, over his whole time. So, And like you said, we did. Well, we had those we had two or three strong years. And this is the thing for us as well as Alabama, who I don't think they keep their coach either. But I'm wondering, do these coaches talk to each other? Like, to me, you would – If you got a strong football program, a strong recruiting in football, seems like the basketball program will piggyback off of that. You know, even to the point of finding out, hey, man, when y'all doing a big recruiting weekend? Hey, we're going to bring some boys in during that weekend, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Ride the wave of the hype for the hot hand. You know, in a basketball game, you ride the hot hand. Why wouldn't you do the same with recruiting for your school? Ride the hot hand. You know, how many times has Anthony Grant in Alabama called Nick Saban or Nick Saban's recruiters and asked you to hit the trail with them just to see what they do? Yeah. You know, do they even do team building exercise or something? You know, man, can some of my coaches just learn off of y'all? It's off season for us. We might as well pick up some pointers. I mean, we've given Barbie everything he needs to be successful. We have an outstanding academic program as a whole. He has top-of-the-line facilities now, has a brand-new, beautiful arena.
KC, let me stop you there, man. You know, all that don't matter. Because if you really, really, really pay attention to Duke and know anything about Duke, that stadium, I don't know if you call it a stadium. What you call it?
Arena?
What you call it? Arena, okay. It's a piece of crap. I mean, literally, if you have your computer up, you probably can correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm not mistaken, that place don't even have air conditioning, dude. So, you know, and you mean to tell me Wichita State got better facilities than we got? So facilities and all that don't matter when it comes to basketball. Now, it does matter when it comes to football.
You're right.
But when it comes to basketball, facilities and all that don't matter.
Oh, wow.
Not saying it don't help.
I have never even seen a picture of Cameron Indoor Arena. It looked like an old, it looked like
an old barn.
Yeah.
An old barn that they just put up two goals.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That is crazy, bro. That is crazy. Oh, man. So, yeah, okay.
I didn't mean to cut you off like that, because it's football.
So they did. They just got air conditioning. They just got air conditioning in 2002. So,
wow.
They've been successful since the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
And they just got air conditioning. And they only got air conditioning due to health concerns and odor concerns for the players and the fans. Wow. They just got a video board in 2009.
Mm.
Oh my God, bro! I don't know what I thought. That's that don't make me feel better.
Because the arena, the Auburn Arena here at Auburn, it is gorgeous.
Oh my God,
it's gorgeous,
great facility. That's what's blowing my mind. I'm like, dude, we the Gators do everything he needs, man.
Yeah,
but so. And it's crazy because when we hired him, I thought we got a great coach. You know, yeah. I was like, he seemed to be up and coming. I was like, wow, this is going to be a great opportunity. You know, he's going to get ready to turn the program around. I mean, the timing was great because if I'm not mistaken, he came either the same year or the year before the coaching change for football. I mean, everything seemed to be, you know, hey, it's a right time for you to make a turnaround. And since then, we've gotten nothing. I don't even think we've been to the NIT tournament since he's been there.
I don't think so either. And, you know, I was talking to one of my coworkers about it. And you look at the team. They've had some close games. They had the lead late against Florida twice. They've had some other close calls with Kentucky. They played some tough people, But, you know, they just couldn't get over the hump and actually win the game. And you know, my coworker was like, but, you know, we're going to be all right because everybody's freshman. I'm like, see, to me, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Barbie has been here 4 years. Where are all his seniors? You know what I mean? Where are the guys you initially recruited? Where are the seniors and your juniors that should be leading the team? We shouldn't, in year four, be talking about promise because we got folks starting freshmen. That's a problem.
I agree.
And I was talking to another buddy of mine who's close to athletics. He's not close to basketball, but he's close to athletics. And he was saying that Coach Barbie doesn't give his players and coaching staff a practice schedule. It changes daily. And he's saying, cause, you know, if anybody that doesn't know, the listeners, he came from Calipari. He's one of his descendants. And
yeah.
He was on the UMass staff when they won a championship. He was on the staff with in Memphis when they went to the championship. And he was supposed to be, like, the recruiter. He was supposed to be the guy. That's why we were excited. And supposedly, Calipari does this. Well, when you come into a new place, now I don't know how long he's been doing it, but I know he's doing it now. And the purpose is, well, to keep guys on edge. And I get it and I don't get it. And if, you know, I'm not going to do this because I know I got practice coming up. I'm not going to eat this or drink that or go here or what have you because I know I got practice coming up. And just keep people on edge. Well, when you in the top 10, and, you know, you possibly may go to national championships at a basketball school, that may work well. When you're struggling and you're just coming in somewhere and you got freshmen or whatever, you need to give these guys a schedule so they can get on the same page. And also, you know, this is a football school. But because it's men's basketball has priority over women's basketball.
That's right.
And anything that goes along in that arena, men's basketball has priority over.
Yep.
So, my buddy, he had a function that was being held in the arena. Well, he couldn't get set up because he had to wait till he found out when they were going to have practice. And come to find out, this particular day, the men practiced late, so in return, the women had to practice late. So in return, the tables and everything, because the event, it was a big event that he was having, the tables and everything, you know, the basketball floor first had to be taken up.
Right.
And a regular floor had to be put down. So he didn't get to the arena to start setting up till 9 o'clock that night.
Oh, my God.
And didn't leave till 1 o'clock the next morning.
The next day's event.
Yeah. That's a little ridiculous, especially when you're not winning.
Yeah, when you ain't got no clout. You ain't got no reason to have no clout.
Yeah. Now, if you at Kentucky and you call a part, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name, Calipari, Calipari, whatever. When you're at Kentucky, and Kentucky is a basketball school, then yeah, and you win it, and you just come off a national championship a year or two ago, yeah, you can kind of do what you want to do. You can kind of say, hey, I'm going to keep my gut. But you know, to say you're going to keep somebody on their toes, if you're not instilling in the young men or women or whatever sport you're coaching to have good values and to make wise choices, either they're going to do it as soon as they get done with practice, or they're going to take a chance and do it anyway.
Yeah.
People are going to do what they want to do.
Wow.
So I don't get, let's keep them on their toes. No, let's have these guys on the schedule. Hey, at 2:30, we're practicing every day, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So he says they may get a notice. I think the most they get is a two-hour notice, and that's seldom. Most of the time, it's a one-hour notice, and it's all through text messages.
We got practice.
I'm like, we've got, and this is for everybody. This is for the training staff, the support staff, the equipment managers. This is ridiculous.
So he's trying to use national championship coach type clout when he ain't even made to the NIT.
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro.
Because I'm looking over, like you said, Cliff Ellis was, in our time, our most successful coach. Cliff only had 10 years of being at Auburn, only 2 years did Cliff not make the NCAA or the NIT tournament.
Yes. At one time, I remember when I was a freshman, we were number one for a little bit.
Oh, yes, sir, when we had Chris Porter and Doc Robinson.
Yeah, number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
The next season to win the national championship in basketball.
Yeah, number one.
Yeah. And now we're to this dude who we finna fire. So Tony Barber, we enjoyed you, man. It was cool having a brother in the seat, but you know, like so many other things that me and Big Drake talk about, regardless of your skin color, you have to perform, player. And unfortunately,
I didn't.
Unfortunately, you have not performed.
And you know, I just hearing, you know, everything I'm getting is secondhand, but I guess,
right.
You know, I guess that's the way reporters get it too. Unless they're interviewing the person, they get the information secondhand
too.
That's right. And I mean, he's like a jerk. Like, none of his neighbors really know him because he's just a jerk. And that could be because he's so stressed out because he knows he's getting ready to get fired or what. I don't know. But, you know, I know a former football coaches that were on the Tuberville staff that they still live here during the off season. They still live here. Well, I know one coach in particular, he is somewhere else during the season and everything, but his wife and his kids who are in high school, they're still here because they love the area so much. I mean, Auburn, and of course I'm being biased, but Auburn is the place where, I mean, Tuberville even said that once he gets done with coaching football, he's going to come back to Auburn to live.
Yeah.
So not getting to know your neighbors kind of is perturbing to me because I'm like, I don't know, but maybe if you look at, because I'm a big body language type of person. If I can't do nothing else, I can read people's body language. Dude, it's like his players don't even like him.
No, they tolerate him.
Yeah. It's like, I can't stand this dude. I hate him. But I need one for that.
I need my scholarship.
Yes. And see, that also hints on to what I was saying earlier, that where are his juniors and seniors that he recruited his first and second year here? Well, we don't have any. Is it because they just said, bump this, I don't even want to play basketball no more, or did they transfer somewhere else? Because now all we got is freshmen on the team. I just don't get it. You've been here 4 years, and all you got is freshmen on the team? What's up?
And it's crazy, you know, his first year was the first, he started out his whole career in the new arena, too.
Because
we christened, his first year was the first year of the new arena. And since then, his record at Auburn has been 11-20, 15-16 was his best season, 9-23, and 14-15 right now.
Wow. And so the year he's getting ready to get fired is technically his best year.
Yeah, so far. Yeah. Kick rocks,
please. Wow.
Yeah, kick rocks.
That last season, which is this season now, is very shocking to me because, I don't know, we're so horrible that I am very shocked that we won 14 games.
I am too. From the stuff I've seen, it is crazy because, you know, like 2 weeks ago, right before they played Kentucky, and again, it may be because, you know, who it was, but what's Kentucky? Calipari, yeah. Calipari said that Tony Bird was doing one of the best coaching jobs in the NCAA.
Oh, come on. He's just trying to look out for his boy.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, you're just trying to get that man another job. That's all that is. You're trying to put it on Auburn? It ain't Auburn, baby.
No.
This was not us. This was all him.
And see, what's funny to me is that you come very close, and which let me know it wasn't a fluke, come very close to beating Florida twice.
Yeah.
But then the skull drug by Arkansas. You know what I mean? I get getting it up for the number one team. You know, you gotta have some consistency. So you almost beat Florida, and then Arkansas, then Georgia, you just get thrashed.
Don't make a sense.
Something ain't right. Something ain't right.
Who didn't feel like showing up to play? Probably everybody. But they let you know, do they show up to play for the coach or are they showing up to play for the game? Because like I said,
there you go.
They get up for themselves. They get themselves up to play against competition. But then other times, like, man, I don't care about playing for you regardless. Ain't nothing you can say to us. You still.
Yeah.
I'm here to get my scholarship. And try to go to the league, even though ain't nobody gonna go to the league on my team. Do we even have a player over 6'2"? I thought we had a midget basketball.
That was the very next thing I was getting ready to comment on. Now, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5". Yeah. That's big. But basketball wise, I'm a point guard.
Yeah.
In NBA.
Yeah.
So why am I bigger than everybody on the college basketball team?
I was gonna say you would do these boys down low on this team right here. You would do these boys, bro.
That's crazy to me.
I mean,
now I will say this. I also heard from the same source that I've been getting most of my information from on Barbie that, and this could, I'm going to come to his defense slightly, very slightly, but when you got people like, and I'm going to continue to refer to Wichita State, because I don't even know what state Wichita State is in.
Kansas.
Okay, see, I didn't even know that. When you have a program like that can do it, and, you know, they went to the Final Four last year. Yeah. Oh, that's a fluke. They can't do it. Now they're undefeated. Oh, it's because they don't play nobody. Because, okay, we're really about to find out, you know, who they really made up of. But I'll be more than happy to have a basketball team that goes undefeated and thus, you know, semi in the NCAA. I mean, because when you got what we got, you'll take anything.
Yeah, we'll take anything.
Why is it? Well, this is what I was saying. The when he first got hired, apparently Lebo before him had done something that he shouldn't have done with some AAU recruits.
Okay.
Now, anybody that knows anything about basketball, that's where you get your guys from AAU. And, you know, some of them AAU coaches, they look dirty. They look shady and mean. But everybody that's somebody in basketball, they play AAU in high school.
That's right.
And they play it in middle school.
That's the group.
Yes, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently Levo had done something. And so they were able to, I don't know if cover up is the right word, or maybe they were able to cover it up, or maybe they did get in some trouble, but it was very small trouble, and it could have been big trouble. So they said, you know what, we're going to not recruit AAU players. But apparently, they didn't tell Barbie this until after he already got here and was getting ready to start recruiting AAU players. So the way the story is told to me, Jay Jacobs, which is our athletic director, was like, hey, I see you trying to recruit Prentice Gilbert. Yeah, hey, Prentice Gilbert's a great player. We need him on his team. Well, Prentice Gilbert's an AAU player. Yeah, he's a great player. We need him on his team. Oh, you can't recruit AAU players here. And then he came close to just saying, you know, bump my contract, do whatever you want to do to me. I'm going to leave because we're not going to have a successful program if we don't recruit AAU players.
Is that when we had that long period where he hadn't signed his contract?
That could have been it. That could have been it right there.
Because he went into the season without having signed a contract yet.
Yeah, that very well could have been it. And see, I didn't know that. So that confirms that my source is truthful on something.
That's right. Golly. Well, we're going to have to do something. We're going to change something.
Yeah. I mean, you think Wichita State getting AAU players?
Yeah.
I mean, two of they started to walk on.
We got to do something. You got to be the coach up talent. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because every superstar don't make the all-star game. Every superstar, you know what I'm saying? And I think Coach Tuberville, again, I respect the job Coach Tuberville did for our school, because Coach Tuberville, he became a specialist in recruiting 2- and 3-star talent and coaching them up to 5 stars.
Yeah.
He made first-round draft picks out of 2-star talent. That's what he did.
Yeah.
That was his claim to fame. And so, you know, you got to, because I'm like you, so I'm looking at the roster of the 14 players on the roster. Only 5 of them are juniors or seniors.
Come on, man.
We have 9 players that are freshmen or sophomores.
Come on, man.
But you've been here 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years. And they do, bro. They got, did you know, we have 3 7-footers on the team?
They must be sitting on the bench.
We have 3 7-footers on our team. 3.
I've never seen them.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. So
I've never seen them.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. This it's horrible. So Florida's number 1 team, man. I think they are definitely. You never know about the conference tournaments, but they'll definitely be a number one pick. I mean, a number one seed. Wichita State seems to have one of the number one seeds locked up. And then, you know, so we're getting ready. I think this weekend, actually, you have this weekend, you have the conference tournaments going on. And if I'm not mistaken, Selection Sunday starts on this upcoming Sunday. Where you'll find out the tournament brackets and find out who is in. But again, if you're from schools like Auburn and Alabama, that means nothing to you. We will be at home. Alabama's
horrific, dude.
Yeah. they didn't beat us the other night, though.
Good for them, but they bad. Yeah. They worse than us.
Yeah,
they bad. They bad.
Yeah, that's not saying much to beat us.
Yes, the humidor, I'm going to give credit to the humidor on this. Because of the success of both football teams, I mean, you got to think, Auburn has went to, you know, we had a rocky year last year.
Yeah.
But Auburn has went to two national championships, won one.
Right.
Alabama has won three.
Right.
So, what's that, 5 years of
pure dominance.
Football dominance in the state of Alabama? Well, when that happens, because we are in the South, we are in the SEC, basketball becomes powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't pay attention to how bad your basketball team is until like January 10th when the national championship game is already decided.
Yeah. And you realize your team is 10 games under 500.
Yes, because basketball starts in November.
Right.
And it takes you a good two and a half months to realize, okay, we suck.
Yeah. Like, oh, we have a good team? Oh, no, we don't. They suck.
Yeah, but then spring ball come back around. You know, the eight-day game is
in April.
Like a month away. You know what I mean?
Right. And you forget about it again for a quick second.
Yes, you forget about it again. But, you know, if it were not for both of our football teams, I think both of those guys at Auburn and Alabama would have been gone, dog.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't have survived as long as they had. Mm-mm. Football has kept the light off of them.
Because with Barbie's been there four.
Yep.
And the other guy's been there five or six.
I think he's been a year before Barber, so I think he's been
okay.
There.
Yeah.
And at least Anthony Grant did get him to the NIT, and they won the NIT once.
Did they?
They've been to the NIT twice, and if I'm not mistaken, they won one of them.
Hmm.
I mean, so he's had them semi-competitive, but you know, I mean, yeah, this year I think has been just a total travesty.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, we continue to lose players even out of the state to some of the top tier, you know, you'd expect some of that. Because, again, we are football schools and not basketball schools. But you don't expect the levels of horrificness that we are to be able to be just the bottom dwellers. And I think that's the biggest problem is, you know, man, we ain't got to be – but why do we have to be bottom dwellers? We catfish right now. I mean, we are at the bottom.
Yeah.
Why
do we have to be, you know, Kentucky and Vanderbilt of football and basketball?
Exactly.
And I say Vandy because historically they've been that way. And we know what the job that James Franklin did. You know what? I mean, I wish he could have stayed. And I know Bob on this Amazing Radio Show, and we football fans. We're going to talk a little bit about football.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he could have stayed and really totally changed the culture there at Vandy, which he did while he was there. But, like, I wanted him because I believe, and I know you believe, that he was that type of coach.
I do.
Where we're looking 7 years down the line, and they're still winning nine games.
That's right.
Wasn't no one-year thing. They winning nine games, and they're winning their bowl games consistently. And I know the greatest thing in this, you know, Vandy is Tennessee, but, you know, look at the job the two coaches at Stanford has done. One who's now, you know, Harbaugh, he's not in the pros, but he changed that whole culture around.
He did.
And then Shaw, he's still there. He's continued. I mean, Stanford is a powerhouse in football. You know?
Yeah.
And I think he could have done the same thing there if he would have stayed. And I'm the type, of course, And I coach this little semi-pro. I'm not a college coach. We love to be, not going to lie. But I'm the type of person where I would rather go to a small school, especially if you're a small school in a big conference. You know, you're still in the SEC. I mean, you can get guys that, you know, the ACC or the Big East might not be able to get, even though you're at Kentucky, you're at Ole Miss, because Ole Miss is doing a great job of recruiting.
Yeah.
Because simply you play in the SEC.
Yeah, because not because of how great your team is, but how great some of the competition you play in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I were to get that chance and I were to go somewhere and be successful, if I'm a small tier school as far as winning football games in a big conference, and I change things around in 3 years, they're trying to offer me the USC job, dude, I'm going to stay right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying right there, and I want to be known as, not Tommy Bowden, but what's his daddy?
Bobby Bowden.
I want to be known as Bobby Bowden, because if you go back into the history, Florida State was the school you scheduled for homecoming.
That's right, before Bobby Bowden got there.
Yes.
He transformed it. So unlike say, and again, this is not to discredit him as a coach, but Nick Saban came into, he inherited a football powerhouse anyhow. They were on a downward spiral, though.
Yes, nonetheless,
the name Alabama carried weight even when he came, and now he's restored the luster back to the name. But for people like, you know, take for instance then when before him when oh God, Alabama's God.
Bear Bryant.
Yeah, when Bear Bryant got there though, you like say, I want to be that Bear Bryant. I want to be the one that make this a household name. And again, bro, I thought that's maybe been what we were getting, you know, because you always got to find that diamond in the rough. No. And when I look, and if you know, I'm looking back over Anthony Grant's record, you know, Anthony, he really hasn't done that bad of a job for it to be Alabama. I mean, you know, again, not to say, but unlike Auburn, so I look at Anthony Grant's roster, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of his 14 players are juniors or seniors.
Wow.
10 of his 14. And again, and look at his record. So Anthony Grant has been there since 2009. In 2009, he brought Alabama, went to the NIT. No. All right, so he didn't go his first year. Well, since 2011, they've been either the NIT or the NCAA tournament. 3 years in a row. Now, this year, again, won't be it. But 2011, they game runner-up in the NIT. 2012, they went to the NCAA tournament. In 2013, they went to the Elite Eight in the NIT tournament.
Get out of here.
So, he hasn't done a horrible job there. You know what I'm saying?
No, he hasn't. He really hasn't.
Went up against Alabama, I mean, you know, the university for the football team, you know what I'm saying? It pales in comparison. But, I mean, Anthony Grant hasn't been a horrible, horrible coach.
I didn't realize he's done that well.
I venture to say we take his record right now.
I would love it. I would love it. Love it.
I would venture to say we take what he's done right now at Auburn. But nonetheless, both of them will be unemployed come the end of the season. And I really feel like Whip Sanders says he thinks that they're going to give Anthony Grant time to turn the program around. But I don't think so. I think Nick has set the bar way too high for the fan base of any sort to be able to sit by and not have a championship or even be able to get close to a championship other than NIT. That's not enough. So
I don't know if that guy plans on going anywhere, but we need to go after the head coach at Wichita State.
Because, you know, who was it? What was the Cinderella team last year, a year before last?
Florida Coastal Atlantic?
Yeah, that guy. But was it Butler, whose coach can't nobody get?
Yeah, Butler.
Until the Boston Celtics came.
Yep.
Because you remember, he took the Boston Celtics job.
and you know what? We hadn't heard anything about Butler ever since he left.
Nope.
And this is a guy, and this is why, you know, college basketball facilities, you know, it's not everything. This was a guy who had to literally do everything. He had to plan the trips. He had to do the budgets. He had to sweep his own floor. He had to do everything.
He prepared the floor, the basketball court the season before them. He was all
And went to the NCAA championship 2 years in a row.
Yep. Sold popcorn at the halftime. Drinks and sodas. I mean, he did it all.
Did the entertainment. He came out as a mascot. He sounded entertained the king.
Yeah, and is it work ethic? Well, you said one of it is our coach is a prick. I mean, he's a butthole. So, you know, that was also my problem when McGee took over at UAB. And I said, I was like, somebody can be successful at UAB, but you're going to have to become a pillar of the community to be successful at UAB. All right?
Yeah.
Birmingham is a hotbed of talent, you know, for a sub-tier school. You know, you got to walk door-to-door, knock on the door, and shake people's hands at UAB.
Really?
You got to be at middle school games at UAB. You got to be recruiting, you got to be recruiting Pop Warner football players at UAB. I mean, they got to be the first person you've ever met. You know, the first time they ever seen a football coach was you. I mean, that's the type of work ethic it's going to take to build the program.
What you got to do is, if you know, let's just happen to say that Charles Barkley lives in Birmingham.
Right.
And because of his pedigree, you heard his wife was pregnant. And, you know, it possibly could be a boy. You need to start recruiting right there.
That's right.
You say, hey, Charles, I want your son. I know he's not born yet, but let's see if we can make this deal happen. Let's get it down on paper.
Take booby cream over. Say, I heard she was thinking about breastfeed. I just want to make sure y'all had everything you need. I mean, dude, everything you need. You want people to have your trust from day one, man. And you got to put that level of work in. And that's what it's going to take at Auburn to have a successful football basketball program. We're going to have somebody to come in and they're saying, I'm willing to do any and everything possible to make this program a success. I'm sold out. And I want to make this program my life. I'm not coming in with these high regards, high standards. I want everybody to live up to my expectations. I want to build up expectations. That's it. Dang, I'm talking makes it happen. So I need somebody to come in. So Tony Barber came in here saying, I'm going to get this program to live up to my expectations. When what you really need is somebody to come and say, I want to build this program to set expectations beyond people's imagination.
Yeah.
He came in and said, I'm a championship coach. I've been on championship teams. I want everybody to live up to my expectations. I'm saying he didn't say it. I'm sorry. But that's the mindset he came in with.
Okay.
With the only giving you 1 hour notice and all this other stuff. He came in with, you know, wanting everybody to live up to his expectations as opposed to coming in and seeing what can I do to build this program up to expectations beyond belief. I want to build the expectation. I don't want to come in here and say, you know, y'all going to bow down to me and y'all going to do it my way because I'm, you know, my way. No, bro, yours ain't proven to work yet. It's not. It's not proven. So when Nick Saban took over a program, again, he got a tradition of winning, but he came in and said, you're going to do the process, and if you just do the process, I'll show you it'll set the standard. It'll set the mark. It'll set the expectations. Just do the process.
Yes.
Just perform the process. I'm coming to work every day. Ain't nobody on Nick Saban's staff work harder than Nick Saban. And they say that's how Gus Malzahn is. Said no one works hard. Some person said he's a maniac. That no one's going to work harder than him. Well, people say the same thing about Tony Barbie. I don't think so.
Nope.
I don't think so, man. So. But anyway, so that's our basketball talk.
You know what, Kingston, we got to talk. And listeners, we got to apologize because all we really talked about is Auburn basketball and Alabama basketball. Just real quick, who do you have in the championship?
Having only watched the half of the fourth quarter of one game. See, and I don't even know basketball because I said fourth quarter. Half of the second half of a game. Brother, I'm gonna contrary to our expert Brent and knowing whether or not these boys have been tested, I'm riding Wichita State to the championship game.
I'm riding Wichita State
and Florida.
That's exactly what I'm going with. Wichita State and Florida. Of course, who knows how the brackets are going to come out. Right. They're going to be in the same bracket, you know, or whatever. Because most of them are going to be number one, but, you know, they still have to face each other in the final four or whatnot.
Before they get
there. So I'm going to say I'm going with Florida or Wichita State. But I tell you what, man, Arizona has a pretty doggone good team, too. Syracuse has a good team, but in the month of March, they were undefeated, and then they lost like three straight.
Right.
I don't know what's going on there, but if you look at their talent, they have a great point guard. They got a great power forward in C.J. Fair, and they have a great seven. I think they got 2 7-footers down below or something. So Syracuse is good, but I'm going Florida or Wichita State as the champion.
And I will say this, though. If the North Carolina game, and again, you don't know whether or not that they just got up for the game, which is a very, very real possibility. But if Duke has decided to sell out to Coach K's process, they'll be a beast in the tournament. Because Jabari Parker is a beast.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's – I don't think he's decided to put his faith in Coach K's process.
He don't be there too long.
Exactly. But if he could have sold out to the process this year, I think the heights that they could have went to would have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because you got to be willing. Even as a freshman, Carmelo came in, he still sold out to Jim Boeheim's process. Michael Jordan had to be beat into selling out to Dean Smith's process. Great coaches have a process. I don't care how great your talent is, a talent's still not greater than a process that wins.
Yeah.
And Coach K, like we said time and time again, love him or hate him, his process works.
Yeah, he's a great coach.
He's a great coach. At every level, every talent level. You know, when he coached Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, they sold out to the process, and it took us gold and brought gold back home.
Yeah.
So if they can sell out, I think Jabari could have too. And I think he would have been a better player for it. So I'll be interested to see. I don't think he has, but if he has sold out to that process, Duke would be a force to be reckoned with in the tournament. Duke would be a force.
And you know, I've seen several Duke's games. So I would say I've seen probably 10 of their games.
Okay.
And I like Parker, man. He's a leader. He's also a leader that leads by example.
Okay.
I didn't see the North Carolina game, but he does have like a motor that's always going. You know, he goes and he goes and he goes. And I mean, I like him, man, for what I've seen. I know you only saw the one game, but I think he has bought into him. But for whatever reason, this year, Duke doesn't have the total package. And you know what? You know, once you get in that tournament, anything can happen. They may get in that tournament, and Parker catch fire. They got this other cat called Suleiman. I mean, everybody just catch fire, and they win it all. But, you know, usually when Duke does that, they have
a total team.
Maybe one or two losses the whole year.
Yeah.
They got, like, 7-8 losses.
Yeah, I don't even. Is they ranked? They. That was a tough one.
They
fall out of
they
top
rank.
25 for a sec, though.
Say what now?
Did they fall out of top 25 this year for a sec? No, it may have been North Carolina that fell out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, and like you said, anything can happen when tournament time. That is one reason why I do like the NCAA tournament. It's because all I got to do is be better than you for one game. I just got to be better than you one game. And then next week, the next game, I just got to be better than somebody else, somebody different on the other side.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, hey, it's the Made Men Radio Show. You know how we do, man. Come on back. We're going to hit you with another episode. We're going to talk. We're going to hit some tidbits before we get out of here, man. We're going to talk some NFL draft, pro days. We're going to hit a little bit of NBA. We're going
to combine.
What else there?
Combine.
Yeah. We gonna hit you with a lot of tidbits. We gonna get Big Drake's perspective on the Saints deciding to release Darren Sproles. Hey, we hitting you all sides, man. This is the Made Men Radio Show. You know what we do, man. This us. This is what we do. When we here, we here. And we all in, baby. So tell somebody about the show, man. Pass the word. Tell them, hey, they ain't always, they ain't on every single week right now. But when they in, they fire.
Wait till the football season.
Oh yeah. These are teasers. This is our off season, so we can.
Yeah.
This is conditioning right here. It's off season work, baby. So hey, it's your boy Kingpin Big Drake, Made Men Radio Show. Keep it with us, man, for the second episode.
Hey, 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 hey,
welcome. For them boys. I guess you're wondering how we shine, how we glow, homie. But none other than the word of God that keeps us shining.
I keep his word in me, so I'm shining all the time. So I'm shining all the time. So I'm shining all the time. I keep his word in me, so I'm shining all the time. So I'm shining all the time. So I'm shining all the time. I keep his word in me, so I'm shining all the time. So I'm shining all the time. So I'm shining all the time. I keep his word in me, so I'm shining all the time. So I'm shining all the time. So I'm shining all the time.
Minor life can be a struggle. It get rough sometimes. So I put my faith in scripture, not the stuff that I buy. And when I try to take this truth from the scripture to masses, they say that they can't hack this. And Satan, I'm judging like Mathis.
Yeah.
I ain't got no problem with cats who say they wanna be happy.
Okay.
But the problem is your search is never ending like habits without God.
Oh Lord,
why do we settle for less? Shining rocks they said was rare, so we call it the best. And since your favorite rapper rocks it, then you rock it. Rock it. Losing your soul, soul it, so they'll jock it. If there was a treasure that we said was better and we told you where to find it, would you follow or not even bother? And sadly, just settle for diamonds. But sadly, several will
settle.
Never requiring who the Messiah be, neither the scripture that he was inspiring. Shunning the person that shine is requiring. Looking for pension but never retiring. Wanting to shine all of the time.